Hello, it's Andrew from Exo Capital, where we buy small software businesses, hopefully profitable. Today, I'm going to be talking about maybe a thesis. This is version 4 of our ever-evolving thesis. And I always say the reason we don't really have one is I think that we're a bit too small. We need to be a little bit more opportunistic than the average bear. But I do think it's a good exercise to always think about what our thesis is and how we're filtering deals. And, you know, we just raised our first fund. So as we think about raising others in the future, and they start to get a little bit bigger, I think it's nice to narrow in on a thesis. So this one's a little poetic, but bear with me. I think part of this should not be anything new, and then part of it should be some new information or at least a new angle. So I'll start with just regular kind of venture-backed company building. So company building is hard and capital inefficient. Both of those things are true, irrefutably, I think. Because of this, many businesses raise venture capital, which has a business model. That business model requires outsized returns following a power law distribution. Okay, so venture has a business model. Venture capital companies are businesses themselves. They need to make a profit. And the way that they do that, they invest in a bunch of businesses. Most of them fail. The ones that do work, though, the power law distribution piece is that the winners have to have an outsized return, a very outsized return. So it doesn't look like a bell curve. It looks like a dumbbell if you took off, you know, the left side of the weights and just left the right side of the weight. So there's basically nothing, 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 maybe a long tail. And then on the far right of the curve, it's just like hockey sticks up, right? So a very small number, let's say in 100, we're talking 3 or 4, pay back all of the fund and then some. That's typically how a successful fund goes. So that's the power law distribution piece. So a high percentage of these companies fail, not news to anybody. You know, this is a little prescriptive, but failure is binary for a VC firm. Either the business has an outside positive outcome or it's irrelevant. So that is directionally true. I wouldn't say it's absolutely true, but it's directionally true. You might have a couple that you can then pay back the fund with, and then anything above that is gravy. But generally speaking, that is not how that tends to work out. It tends to be that a very few number of the businesses end up returning all of the value for the fund and then some. So that's not new information. What's new here, I think, is our view. So failure for us is relative. A failed VC-backed startup with some revenue and some positive growth rate is an opportunity. So this happened to me, raised a bunch of money, spent a bunch of money in the thing. You know, I don't know the current state of it, but I'm pretty sure it's zero. I don't think that it should be zero. I think there was an opportunity for a sale there. And there was just no real infrastructure back then to do something like this, or not a lot or nothing that we found. So Exo buys businesses that quote unquote fail from the venture perspective. So again, failure from the venture perspective really just means in the current market, are they able to raise the next round? So in a constrictive market like this, where interest rates are going up, you need to be really on your A game to go raise like a series A, B, and C, et cetera. And of course, I hate scenarios like this, but you're in a room with 100 people, and one of those, they're all founders, right? Somebody's going to win. If they all keep going, all right, and some of the businesses will fail, somebody's going to win in that game. And that's the venture game, right? You're trying to pick that one person from the crowd. And I think the reality is that different stage firms bet on like many of them. And then as they start to take off, then they pile more money into the winners. Anyway, so if a business fails to reach the next stage of raising capital, because they need to, right? They generally hire big teams. They're generally focused early on product. This is really only for B2B SaaS, by the way. We don't really think about other businesses that often. So in B2B SaaS, at the beginning, you're generally speaking, investing a lot in products. You have a lot of engineers, they're very expensive, et cetera. So they fail to raise their next round in venture, but that doesn't mean the business sucks. That doesn't mean, that almost says nothing about the business, actually, other than it is not at a sort of bacteria level growth rate. If it's doing something like 3% month over month growth, I like that number because that means the business doubles in about 2 years. And that's pretty cool, especially if you own 100% of the thing. Doubling your money every 2 years, you would sign up for that every time. If you could do it consistently, that's what we aim to do. So that's what I mean when I say Exo buys businesses that quote unquote fail from the venture perspective. So we buy the best products in the category. This is relatively new as a sort of like checkbox item. I am personally tired of buying second, third, sometimes sixth, seventh rate products in the market because that's all we can afford. As we continue to not necessarily move up stack, but as we continue to go on to our 11th acquisition and beyond, I want to get increasingly better at buying the best product in that category or some angle to become the best product in that category. However, we're really not at this stage operationally able to take a product that's like the sixth best in the market and make it the best in the market. That's a significant engineering effort. And I think that that's not where we're going to win, which brings me to my second part, which is we buy complete products that are sellable today. So I want the best product in the category, right? Or, you know, I don't know, top three, right? It's big markets have many competitors, which is totally fine. But we want to buy a first rate product, a really great product. And we want to buy it complete. So I need to be able to have something that can sell today, particularly for the Flip Fund, for example. If we only have 12 to 24 months and I have 6 months of engineering work before I can really step on the gas to do any kind of product-led growth experiments, that doesn't work, right? I need more time than that. And so when we buy it, it's important that we're buying a product that is complete for the use case today. Now, it's not to say it's not missing stuff or we won't build incremental stuff, but I don't want 6 months of heads down engineering work before I can bring it back to market. That's not really our game. I don't think that's how we will win. What else? We buy a promising channel. So I want to buy their current source of customers. I don't care if that's ads. I don't really care if it's, you know, search, whatever it is. I just want to buy that channel. We buy a growth rate, however nominal. So we've bought stuff, you know, very early on, we played around with little snack positions that are $0 in revenue, and they're kind of just experiments and, you know, maybe potential for high alpha, but, you know, they're dollar-wise, they're quite small. Generally speaking, we're always looking for some kind of growth rate, even if it's nominal, like a 3% month over month growth rate. That's totally fine, right? Again, that means the business will double in 2 years. We are happy with that. What else? We buy initial customers. So I've talked a little bit about product market fit in past articles. It's not necessarily that we're buying only products that have product market fit, but we do want to buy some initial customer base. Ideally, in product-led growth land, that is going to be like 100 plus customers, with no one customer representing more than, let's say, 20% of the business. Even that might be pushing it on the PLG side of the house, but yeah, that's what we look for. So in one sentence, XO buys VC-backed companies with amazing products that ran out of time. So some notes here, that's not to say we're anti-VC at all. I just think it's a very specific tool, a tool I've tried to use in the past. And I think it just tends to be applied too liberally. So that's like, oh, this anything could be a venture backable business, which is sometimes true, right? That is the whole game, right? You have to be contrarian and correct. And that second part is really hard. The other side of it is just that many businesses just don't reach the next level of funding or the founders get a little bit burnt out. And that's really it. Do we deviate from this? Yes, we deviate from this all the time. So, you know, we'd take this with a grain of salt. But again, if I had a bigger war chest, this would be the preferred thesis. It would either be this or we'd go vertical. And just by like sales tools, for example, or everything had to be a developer tool, that might be another angle. But I really like this distressed venture. The kind of cheeky way to put this is I want you to meet Paul Graham at the start of your journey and XO at the end of your journey. That's all I got this week. That is our maybe a thesis version 4.